We're back with our next author, and we're here throughout the rest of the show through Tuesday with the best book authors, followed by book signings over at our Barnes & Noble bookstore. We will not keep you too long. We're going to get right into things right now, continuing our theme today of social media, social business, social strategy, and social creativity. Our next speaker is Mark McDonald. Published. His book is The Social Organization, published by Harvard Business Review Press. And he'll speak to us about the organizational challenges and objectives when trying to handle social communities, social media, employees, and the brave new world that social media puts to businesses. Very happy to have him here. Big round of applause for Mark.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. It's great to be here and lose your flipper. As was mentioned before, we're talking about a book about how organizations apply social media, published by Harvard. Now, in this audience, you kind of say, well, wait a minute. You know, shouldn't I be speaking somewhere else? Shouldn't I be talking to a bunch of guys at Davos, et cetera? Well, the answer to that is no. What I'd like to do is just take a really quick poll to help explain to you why this is something you actually should care about. So the first, and what I'd like you to do is I'd like to pause and ask everybody who agrees with the statement to say yes, and then everybody who disagrees with the statement to say yes, no, just to say no. So has your organization tried to suppress or ignore social media beyond using it in marketing? Those who say yes, please say yes. Wow. Those who say no, please say no. Okay, that's good. And then do you want to be a leader in bringing social media collaboration into your organization? Those people want to say yes. And those people want to say no? Okay, sir, you may want to go to a different presentation. Yes, it was you. I watched. So great. So thank you all very much. This book, which came out in October of this year and has just recently been published in Spanish and will be published in Portuguese, which is really, really crazy to see your book in Portuguese, talks really about and kind of addresses this issue. When you talk about social media, when you talk about mass collaboration to executives, they think of the crowd. 2 weeks ago, I was in Dubai talking to about the same size group of room with a bunch of business executives from the Middle East. And I said, social media. And they said, Arab Spring. And it's like, well, so what? And they go, not for us. It's like, okay, well, let's talk about it more. The question that faces people, when you see the 800 million people on Facebook, you see all the stuff going on, business leaders and executives want to tap into that, but they fear it because they fear the crowd. And so the book is about how you drive and derive and create what we call a social organization based upon this notion of purpose. Now, for everybody in this room who's looking to become a leader in this, this book is subversive. Subversive in the context that it talks to business leaders and business executives about how to do this in a way and a language that they understand. So people will kind of grab another book about social media, talk about freedom and, you know, social movements, et cetera. You know, let's go storm the gates of my organization, my company. You know, kind of wonder why it gets closed down. You speak a language that they've never been trained to understand. You speak a language that investors don't like because investors like control and predictability, et cetera. So what we'll be really talking about and why we wrote this book is because, yes, you can swing a cat in a bookstore and hit about, now, there's a stuffed cat, like as in stuffed animal stuffed cat, not a real cat. You can swing a stuffed animal cat in a bookstore, and that cat will hit about every social media book ever written. But what we found is there's not a lot of books, there's no really none that focus on what about social media for the people who were born in an environment that we don't necessarily live in, that we don't necessarily play in. So we talk about how to do it with the impression of you got to convince me being the organizational establishment, as to why I should be willing to let this incredibly disruptive force, this incredibly creative force into my organization. This gentleman on this side already believes he's trendy. Does anybody want to mention why he thinks he's so trendy? Because he's wearing French blue. So he looks at social media, he thinks about it, and he says, you know, it doesn't deliver real value. It wastes a lot of employees' time. It presents unacceptable risk. It happens on its own, so what can I do? Doesn't necessarily have business justification, and it only works, and this is a true quote from an executive I was talking to about 6 months ago, it only works on altruistic cases, meaning that social media is not for real business. Anybody believe that? No, okay, that's so much enthusiasm. I don't know what to do with that. So what we're going to talk about in the brief period of time we have here is to recognize that there is a fundamental tension between the management view of things, which concentrates on task force, assignment, security, being prescriptive, ad hoc, and deterministic, versus a social media view that is participatory, collective, transparent, independent, persistent, and emergent. These two things do not have to be mutually exclusive, although without a path, without a bridge for executives to understand what this really means, they are. So in terms of that, resolving that tension comes from understanding and helping managers, executives, and leaders reconcile the difference between them being responsible for a result and having control over the resources associated with that result. Fundamentally, in mass collaboration, what I want to do is give up control of the resource to allow the levels of creativity, engagement, energy, experience, and knowledge to flow and be innovative while still having responsibility for a particular outcome you're trying to create. Now, one of the companies that we feature in the case study book, one of the companies that's actually incredibly good at this, is a company called Cemex. They make cement. There is nothing social about cement. And yet, in their organization, an initiative called Cemex Shift involves 18,000 employees collaborating against 8 major strategic objectives, enabling them to do in 5 weeks, through a collaborative community of more than 500 people, in 5 weeks, what they estimate using the old slow method of management control would take them 18 months to achieve. So it's not just about putting social media into the environment. It's about creating something that we call mass collaboration. And mass collaboration has 3 major components to it. Certainly has social media technologies associated with it. It has a collaborative community, but it also has this notion of purpose. The reason organizations come together, the reason you as individuals want to participate and contribute your time, your talent, your knowledge, and your energy. Because quite frankly, what we found is organizations, you have to have that purpose that cuts both ways. So when we look at, and as a matter of fact, do workshops with executives to figure out kind of what are good purposes, we find some amazingly stupid purposes. Like an insurance company who says, I want to apply social media so I can root out cost and waste in my company so I can earn more money. And I said, wow, that's really cool. That's a great idea, right? A lot of collaboration. I said, have you tried it before? And they said, yes. And they said, how did it work? They said, not so good. Because it's a purpose that's all for the business, nothing for the individual. And as a matter of fact, I said, so what happened? And they said, we found this. Do you mind if I pick on you for a second? Your name? Faye? Faith. Faith would put into the social media environment that Mark McDonald is the greatest waste of resources on the face of the planet, and if you want to save money, you should get rid of him. And what would I do? I would return the favor. And therefore, you had no collaboration. You just had finger pointing. Purpose, the development in the idea of a means or a reason why you participate as an individual while the organization supports it is absolutely essential. Now, the other thing that executives need to understand is when they look in a collaborative environment, when they look in a social media environment, they see chaos. They either see chaos or they see triviality when they look at the comments, the stuff feeding back. Because remember, these guys were trained, and unfortunately most of them are guys, are trained to look for hard bottom line results. When you look at what really is going on inside a collaborative community, you find a purpose. The reason people come together engenders contributions. Those contributions really receive feedback, and feedback engenders attention. That first two sets, that's social media marketing, that stops generally there. In order to drive social media into your organization, you have to take 2 other steps. Recognize and focus and build an environment that actually builds judgment among the community as to what are the appropriate and best steps to take to resolve and address the purpose. With that judgment, you gain consensus. That consensus creates the change, and it is the change, in fact, that drives the business results and feeds the cycle again. You go through this cycle multiple times. I mentioned before Cemex in that 5-week period went through this cycle 5 times. One of the first things they decided to do was, what did it mean to increase the use of alternative fuels in their organization? How to assess all 186 plants? How to determine which was the most effective plant, how to feature a webinar of the 2 plant managers to distribute it, and then everybody collectively from that basis, everybody from that basis went back and adjusted their own business practices to get a 5% increase in alternative fuels in just 5 weeks. This is what's known as slide failure. This is owner-operated failure just by itself. So one of the challenges that we face, and one of the challenges we discuss in the book, is what are the technologies and the technology environments that are necessary in order for this to happen? And one of our case studies, a company called Xilinx, is a chip manufacturing case study, recognized and probably did the best statement of how all these things fit together. The CIO there said, wait a minute, guys, we've got a problem with unstructured data. And I've tried to take unstructured data, and I've tried to send it and put it into my organization, and it doesn't work in my formal architectures. He created a person-to-person architecture. Two people from November to December of 2009 created this person-to-person architecture that has improved designer productivity by 25%. Why? How is that possible? Well, as one of our case study companies, Electronic Arts, explained, we used to compete in swim lanes. How many people here in an organization face an organization in swim lanes where we focus on just swimming for time? We focus by ourselves. What happens in another lane doesn't really matter to us. It doesn't really change what we do. We want to collaborate more, but unfortunately, collaboration is like the start of a triathlon. Anybody here like getting kicked when you're swimming in a swim race? No, not me. I'm not that good of a swimmer. What they found when they adopted these practices, they looked at these things, they actually wound up competing more like a water polo team. Very fluid, very, very vibrant. Everybody's got the ball. We have options as to where to pass it, but we have five different ways to score. We don't know how we're going to score before we start. We don't know how we're going to win, but we know that we have this degree of flexibility to make it happen. So what's required for success in social media and organization is just enough structure. Not for the community. You don't have to put just enough structure on social media. You have to put just enough structure in the company to inoculate it, to make the company safe for mass collaboration and the kinds of energies and stuff that everybody in this room would like to evolve and deliver. That just enough structure is really about how you become a social organization. And two things you need when you talk to business executives about it is you have to talk to them about a process. And if social media is strategic, then therefore that process has to have some word like strategy or strategery in it somewhere. So I just want to briefly walk through what this process is at the high level. It's detailed in the book, and we can go through it later on if you're interested. So here's the deal. It starts with a vision for mass collaboration. The vision is just nothing but a set of candidate purposes that you can apply social media to be successful. A set of issues that cut both ways, that are appealing to your individuals, your customers, your employees, your suppliers, etc. They talk about their ideas, their contribution, their purpose in the community. From that vision, you go and gain an organizational strategy. The organizational strategy is nothing more than a prioritized set of these purposes. If you notice, what we're doing is we're taking the collective and powerful energy associated with a meaningful purpose and just casing it, if you will, in traditional management structures so business executives can understand, do you have a strategy for what you're doing? Oh, yes, sir, we do. Oh, well, that's good. If you have a strategy, that's good for me. That's what you kind of do in this step. Purpose, as we mentioned before, has some characteristics associated with it. It's participative, collective, transparent, persistent, and emergent. It's things that matter. Candidate purposes have included everything from Blue Cross and Blue Shield in Tennessee had a purpose to, believe it or not, help their policyholders make better use of the benefits associated with Blue Cross and Blue Shield. We had other candidate purposes associated with improving growth by trading and sharing marketing plans through creating an answer marketplace across 15 different countries. Purpose becomes that center as you launch the community. And you launch multiple communities, generally one community to a purpose. And what we found was interesting was that a collaborative community of below 50 people is a fan club. Below 3, it's your family. Below 1, it's narcissism. So you got to think about a purpose that reaches out, that appeals to people, not just in the narrow interest, but in a broader interest. How do I relate it to HR? How do I relate it to IT? And then finally, how do I actually guide and adapt the community? 3 chapters in the book are concentrated on management because the nature of management changes fundamentally around 3 major things. First, inside the community, the manager or the sponsor needs to make the environment safe for participation. Participation is necessary because most purposes are at some level divisive. If they weren't divisive or subject of multiple opinions, they'd have no value. There'd be no tension in the communities. We would all be standing there just liking whatever the idea was. The next thing they have to do is they have to guide the community against its purpose. Now, two reasons. One is to make sure we're making progress against it, but that's one of the ways you put just enough structure in to allow the executive team to let go of control in order to enable things to move forward. And then finally, and this is something a lot of people miss, is you need to connect performance, which is the insights, the ideas, the new practices that come out of a collaborative community, and inject them back into the organization's formal management structures. Anybody ever here work on a really high-performing team, and then you say, this is great, we should do this across the company, and it goes nowhere? That's that last piece of management, adapting the organization, really making the organization safe for the energy, insight, et cetera, generated by community collaboration. Now, as part of the book, we talk about there being basically six different levels of social media readiness. Rather than going through all six levels, I will offer to you a free self-assessment on www.gartner.com/social readiness. If anybody here is familiar with Gartner, you do not need to have a Gartner ID to register for it, which is a big deal, because most everything else you do. And nobody will call you. You do have to provide your email address so we can send you a report back. I have that list. Nobody else has it. I will not give it to a salesperson. Nobody will call you because you took the social readiness assessment. It'll help determine whether you're kind of just viewing it as folly, which is, hey, this isn't a really serious thing in my organization, so we'll just let it go, all the way up to actually fusing, driving the social and mass collaboration capabilities directly into your organization and strategy, which is what CEMEX is doing. The book itself is social. It has its own Facebook page. Anthony Bradley, my co-author, myself, do a tweet on it. We do post blogs on both the Gartner Blog Network and the Harvard Business Review Network. And kind of in closing, to allow for a little bit of time for questions, just a few passing thoughts. I mentioned at the beginning of this incredibly abbreviated talk that this book is subversive. It's subversive in the sense that if I pass it along to my executives, if I pass it along to my team, it helps them understand the energy, the potential, the innovation that's all possible through social media and collaboration in terms that they can recognize. It lowers the barrier to enable them to start to conceive of doing things in new and different ways. If you do not believe me, on Tuesday, I'm going to Las Vegas to talk with a company that's got about $1.5 billion in revenue. They're going to use all 180 managers, senior levels, are at this workshop for a whole day to learn how to do this. And what do they make? They bend metal for a living. I guarantee you that people that are in this organization are well-established, shall we say, business executives. And yet they recognize, if talk to them in the right way, they recognize the potential to use this to bring their organization together. So please assess your social readiness via that social readiness efforts. Look for compelling purposes inside your organization. They either come up from the grassroots, or it's one of those problems that you've never been able to solve because it sits between the top-down hierarchy in your company and the end-to-end process orientation that organizations oftentimes have. Describe and think about just enough structure that's necessary to inoculate your organization to be successful about it. And yes, commercial term, buy a copy of the book and give it to your boss so they can understand it and kind of get along with it. So in a nutshell, that's what the book, The Social Organization, is about. I want to thank you guys all very, very much for your time, and I think we might have time for one or two questions. Yes, sir. Yeah, it's a great question. As you're putting this in, what happens to the organizational structure in the medium and long term? Two things seem to happen. Number one is, if you think about, there's the top-down hierarchy and the end-to-end process stuff, the diagonal, which is where we all live, gets stronger. And so people at CEMEX commented, said, I used to work for a country, right? Now I know people, and I collaborate with people across the entire world that happen to work for that company. So you get some of those formal lines break down. The other thing that we've seen happening is that executives start to recognize, it's actually a dual learning cycle. As your collaborative communities get able to handle more tough stuff, your management lets you handle more tough stuff, and they actually will create environments where what used to be ad hoc or cross-functional teams kind of disappear as a formal organization structure, and they just put up a purpose in the collaborative environment and stuff happens. Not yet. I think it's too early for there to be a lot of flattening, so I think there's a lot of logical flattening. So as the way people work, which would be across that diagonal, structural flattening, it hasn't happened yet. It's because, I mean, it's really been, 2 years since this stuff has really kind of come into the industry, and it takes a little bit longer for organization structure theorists to change stuff. Yes? That's a great question. What platform, products, and tools actually work? Good news is we found no one product that was systematically resulted with poor performance. We found one poor implementation style, though. So you name it, you know, Yammer and SharePoint and all that stuff. We didn't find one tool that was outstanding. What we did find is if your company previously had Lotus Notes, okay, and then it adopts SharePoint, and your SharePoint site looks just like your Lotus Notes database, that's a problem. Now, I once went to a Fortune 5 consumer products company, said, can you look at our social media environment? And I went over and I looked at it and I said, you guys got Lotus Notes in about 1989, didn't you? And they go, how did you know? Well, because exactly like, I mean, it replaced the boxes with little lines. We've seen great implementation. Cemex uses IBM Connections. Xilinx uses SharePoint. Some other people use open source stuff. We have not seen a product that is systematically good or systematically bad. The only other product we saw, and I think it's been sold, Injera used to have a wiki product that was the easiest to use wiki product that we found. It's been some time since we looked at it. That would be the only other thing there. Can I go back here, please? Yep. Okay, so how do core values really play in this? It's a great question. This makes your culture an executable from a programming standpoint. Everybody else thinks culture is a constraint. Our culture, our values, etc. Well, we all live whatever our organization's culture and values are, either formally or informally. This, we found as we've been observing companies doing this, allows those behaviors to surface and manifest themselves visibly. So when organizations say we can't do X because it's against our culture, or our culture won't let us change, this is being providing an opportunity to allow the culture to actually become much more dynamic because it enables it to actually live in an organization. Now, one of the ways it lives in an organization is in your HR systems. Participation in mass collaboration is a demonstration of your professional qualities and your culture. And so I promote based on it. I don't necessarily have bounties, if you will, for people contributing. But two people roughly equal candidates, one's actually much more active in this, they should get the nod because they exhibit this. As one of the executives said, people who are good and know their job already do this naturally. They don't necessarily use social media, but they coach others. People who are lousy at their job need to be doing this because they need to learn from others. And that's a very powerful way of making those values much more visible and enlivened. Yes? Yeah, two or three simple metrics to determine whether a company is properly becoming a social organization. The first one is the size of the mass collaborative communities. As I mentioned before, if they're kind of below 50, they're not. It's kind of a fancy task force. The other thing that we look at is the number of collaborative communities, the number of collaborative things they're going against, which is obviously as you're more social organization, you're deploying this technique more and more. And then obviously then the last piece is the degree to which it's discussed and mentioned in the company's formal strategies. So at Cemex, I keep talking about them, but to Cemex, for example, they looked at their organization and they said, guess what? Our average age in the company is 29 and we're getting younger because they're growing in emerging markets. We can't deploy strategy the old way. We have to use something. They call it Cemex Shift. That would be an example of a more advanced organization. Thank you. Great question. Any others? Yeah. Oh, one more and then I'm going to get the hook. Okay. As the T, the question is you mentioned Podi. Podio as a tool you're using, particularly in comments, relative good for small teams, just so everybody can hear. We haven't seen what we, if you have a good, compelling purpose, you actually get economies of scale as you move bigger because you get to do things simultaneously. They become simultaneously fragmented and surprisingly concurrent in terms of the way the organization converges. The biggest collaborative community we've seen is, oh geez, there was 18,000 total in CEMEX. There's a couple of thousand people, you know, contributing on workplace safety, for example. And obviously that would be one where the more I share, the better off I know. So we haven't really seen it as it gets bigger. What it actually does is it becomes more influential. And then and it does tend to reach a size and then it might split. I might have multiple purposes and split out again. But then that's actually good because now, as you earlier person asked, now I'm working on more things in this collaborative environment, which is a good thing. The last thing I'll offer to you guys is there's a book signing at 4:15 right outside here. We'll be signing copies of The Social Organization. Thank you all very, very much for your time and attention. And I hope you came not just for the cocktails. Thanks.
Big round of applause for Mark. Mark, thank you so much.